Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. So something that's true about every single one of us is that we all have pet peeves. I mean, even as I say that, you're already right away. You're going, yep, I know what mine is. Something that just annoys you, frustrates you, drives you crazy, other people do, you immediately think about what that is. Now, I want to tell you one of mine this morning. One of my pet peeves happens at the gym. Now, whether you can tell or not, I actually go to the gym pretty consistently, almost every single day, and I love weight training. Like I used to do a little bit harder than I do now because I'm old and everything on my body hurts. Old people, you know what I'm talking about. But I love lifting weights. What I cannot stand is when people don't re-rack their weights. For those of you who aren't weight people, here's what that means. Is after they get done, they leave the weights they put on the bar, they leave it on the bar instead of putting it back on the rack. Or they take their dumbbells and they do their set, and instead of, you know, re-racking their dumbbells and putting it back on the rack, they just leave it on the floor. Here's what other pet peeve I have when it comes to this is where the fives go on the rack, they'll take a 25 and put it in front of the fives. I'm like, what are you doing? And then, you know how this works. Like, where the dumbbells are, you know, they go in order. You know, 10, 15, 20, my rack. 90, 95, 100, you know. They 10, 15, 20, 25. What would drive me bananas is someone will take 30s, and that obviously goes between 25 and 35, and they put them where the 50s go. And I'm like, what is happening? It's like, what are you people doing to think that someone should go behind you and clean up like a butler? And I mean, I'm thinking all the time I see people do this, I'm like, are you serious? And 99% of the time, I don't say anything. I just let it go on with my business. But sometimes I can't help it. And sometimes I have to say something to them. And whenever I've said something to someone about this, they look at me like I'm the problem. And I'm like, no, you're the jerk. Like, I'm not the problem. Now, this is a pet peeve of mine, but it's more than a pet peeve. It frustrates me, but it actually does something else too. Something much, much deeper. And I'm going to get back to that in just a little bit. But today, we are in part two of this series that we've called Louder Than Words. And as we launched this series last week, we discovered that as followers of Christ, as people who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, we've been sent on a mission. We've been sent on a mission to carry on the mission that Jesus came for, died for, and rose from the grave for. We've been sent on a mission to transform the world for Jesus by ushering in God's kingdom. We've been sent on a mission to seek and save those who are lost. We've been sent on a mission to reach people for Jesus. We've been sent on a mission to impact people for Jesus. It's what we're called to do to follow Jesus because it's who we are as followers of Jesus. It's our identity. It's our purpose, which means you can't follow Jesus without being relentless about reaching people for Jesus. And regardless of how long you've been a follower of Christ, you want to follow him in this way, because the more relentless we are about reaching people for Jesus, the more we experience Jesus' transforming power and presence in our lives. The more we're transformed in everything he's created us to be. But come on, we got to be honest. Many of us aren't living out who we are by being relentless about reaching people for Jesus. And we aren't because we don't know how. A common thing I hear many followers of Christ say is, I would love to impact people for Jesus, but I don't know what to say. We feel all this pressure to have the perfect words, the right answers, a well-timed Bible verse, you know, sound biblical arguments. But as we discovered last week, while our words do matter in impacting people for Jesus, something else matters much, much, much more. And that is our actions. Bottom line is, your actions always speak louder than your words. Your actions always speak louder than your words, especially when it comes to impacting people for Jesus. When it comes to reaching people for Jesus, I think we are just way too focused on what we're trying to say. The truth is, we need to be more focused on how we live every single day, because that's what people are really paying attention to, and that's what this series is all about. Throughout this series, we're looking at three very practical ways that you can impact people for Jesus every single day simply by how you live. And this is not an all-inclusive list. They're just simply three actions that you, no matter what your age is, no matter your personality, no matter the season of life you find yourself in, that you can choose to live out every day right where you are, at school, at work, at home, in your neighborhood, at the gym, in the checkout line, at Target. And here's the best part. If you live out what we're talking about in this series, people will see that there's something different about you. It's going to give you credibility to share the good news of Jesus with your words. It will not necessarily make people believe what you believe, but it will make them want to know you more. And because influence happens within the context of the relationship, you want them to know you more. Last week, we talked about one of the reasons we're doing this series right now is because Easter is coming up. And as we talk about all the time here at Relevant, Easter is one of the best opportunities to invite someone who doesn't know Jesus. For some reason, people don't have a relationship with Jesus, people who would say they're unchurched, for some reason, they are more willing to come to a church gathering on Easter than any other time of the year. I don't understand it, but it just is the case. So our challenge to all of us, talk about this every Easter, is reach one this Easter. Invite one person who doesn't know Jesus to come sit with you this Easter. Now, I want to say one more thing about our Easter weekend before we continue to move on, and that is we have five gatherings on Easter. Easter weekend. We have two on Saturday, one at 3 and one at 5, and we have three on Sunday, 8 o'clock, 9:45, and 11:30 a.m. The 9:45 a.m. on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday, is every year it's the most packed of all of them, and it's because it's the most convenient. And if you've ever been to that 9:45, you're going to know there's nowhere to sit, there's nowhere to park, it's just packed in. So here's what I want to ask you, people who are a part of our church, who love our church, who would sacrifice everything for our church, who always put others before you, I know that's all of you, here's what I would ask you, is do not attend the Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, 9:45 a.m. Gathering by yourself. I know it's the most convenient. Don't come and attend that one by yourself. Only attend that one if the reach one that you're inviting, if that's the one they want to come to. If they want to come to, come sit with them at that one. Leave a spot, a parking spot for someone who needs to hear the good news of Jesus at that 9:45. Leave a seat for someone here that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Sunday morning at 9:45. There are four others to choose from. Two on Saturday, two others on Sunday. So choose one of those four others and make it the best experience for you or everyone else. Now here's the deal. Living out what we're talking about in this series will not necessarily make someone want to accept your invitation to Easter or any other time, but not living out what we're talking about in this series will definitely make them not want to accept your invitation, because your actions always speak louder than your words. Now, if you're not a follower of Christ, you never put your faith in Jesus, you're actually a little surprised that you're here this morning, I just want to let you know, I'm so glad you're here this morning. And I'm obviously talking specifically to followers of Christ throughout this series, but you can apply so much of what we're talking about, and I think you should apply it. You should, because if you do, you'll improve the lives of the people around you, and you'll make a positive impact at home, at school, on your team, in your company, and I believe that's something that you want to do. The first everyday action to impact people for Jesus that we talked about last week is wherever there's darkness, shine bright. Wherever there's darkness, shine bright. And the second one that we're going to talk about today is this: be faithful with the small things. Be faithful with the small things. Now, this may not seem like a big deal, but because we live in a spotlight culture that celebrates big wins, big moments, big platforms, a culture that values going viral instead of staying faithful, that applauds achievement over consistency, But being faithful with the small things is actually a really, really big deal, especially when it comes to impacting people for Jesus. It's a really big deal because, as we talked about last week, whether we know it or not, and whether we like it or not, as followers of Christ, people are watching us. People are watching me, and people are watching you. They're paying attention to what you and I choose to do and what you and I choose not to do. And what are they watching most closely? It's not the big flashy moments. It's the small, seemingly insignificant things that we do or don't do every single day. They're watching if you pick up after yourself, if you put that shopping cart away, if you re-rack your weights, if you work hard, if you keep your cool, if you show up when it's inconvenient, if you follow through, if you get there on time, if you do what you said you would do. They're watching to see if what you do matches who you say you are, what you say you believe, and who you say you follow. And the reality is what you choose to do or not do with the small things will determine if they like you or not. But the stakes are even higher than that. What you and I choose to do every single day with the small things, it either builds or erodes their trust in us. And trust, that's what creates or destroys your credibility. The credibility that you need to impact people for Jesus. What people see you do every day with the little things shapes how they see you. That's why one of the most significant choices you can make to impact people for Jesus is to be faithful with the small things. Now, let me be clear. Being faithful is not about being perfect. Faithfulness is consistently doing what you can with what you have right where you are. And Jesus actually told a story in the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 25, that shows just how much this matters. Not just in your relationship with other people, but also in your relationship with God. In Matthew 25, Jesus was teaching his followers what the kingdom of God is like and how we experience the fullness of God's kingdom both today and in the future when he returns. And right in the middle of that conversation, Jesus did something he often did, and he told a parable. A parable is an illustrative story used to communicate a deep and most times complex spiritual truth or principle. And within this parable, Jesus introduced the principle of being faithful with the small things. So I'm going to go through this parable. I'm going to highlight some of the big ideas Jesus was communicating. And then we'll talk about how this principle practically applies to how we live our lives every single day, specifically when it comes to impacting people for Jesus. Jesus said, referring to the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability, and then he went on his journey. Now, in this parable, a very wealthy man is getting ready to embark on a very long journey, but before he leaves, he entrusts his 3 servants with some of his wealth. Now, you've got to know, in this parable, the wealthy master represents Jesus, and we are all one of the 3 servants. As you go through the parable, your job is to figure out which one am I? That's why Jesus was telling the parable. So this master, he gets his 3 servants together. He says, "Guys, I'm getting ready to leave you, but someday I'm going to return. In the meantime, I'm going to give you a huge opportunity. I'm entrusting some of my stuff to you, some of my wealth to you. So be faithful with it." And the amount he gave to each servant was different, but they were all given something important. They were all given something valuable, which means a few things. First, it means everything we have has ultimately been entrusted to us by God, which makes everything we have important and everything we have valuable. Secondly, in God's kingdom, how much we have been given is not what's important to God. What's important to him is what you and I do with what has been entrusted to us. Verse 16, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. So the first two servants at once were faithful with what their master had entrusted to them by putting it to work, and they stayed faithful until he's returned. Not so much with the third servant. Instead, the third servant dug a hole and buried what his master had entrusted to him in it. And why in the world would he do that? Well, we find out later it was because of wicked character rooted in pride and laziness. He didn't view what he had as important, as significant, at least as significant of what the other two servants were given. His pride made him entitled. His pride made him believe he deserved more. And so he became lazy. And he had a "it doesn't matter" mentality. But as Jesus is about to show us, being faithful with the small things he's entrusted, it matters a lot. Verse 20. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The master rewards the first two servants, not because of the amount they earned, but because of their faithfulness with what the master, what Jesus, viewed as being small that he entrusted to them. Jesus was clearly communicating to them and clearly communicating to us, as one of my followers, be faithful with the small things. To God and his kingdom, small is never insignificant. To him, being faithful with the small things is what's most significant. You guys, we get so wrapped up in what's God's plan for my life? What's God's will for my life? Do you know what God's plan for your life is? Do you know what God's will for your life is? It's today. It's today. It's being faithful with the seemingly insignificant small things he's given to you, entrusted to you, put in front of you today. When we're not faithful with the small things today, God's plan for our lives past today doesn't even matter because it will not happen. But when we're faithful with the small things God has entrusted us with today, then and only then does he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Since you've been faithful with the small things, I will reward you with more of what only I can give." And that's what God wants for you. But like the third servant, what will prevent you and me from being faithful with the small things is pride, a sense of entitlement, putting yourself at the center, believing you deserve more, you deserve better, thinking the world revolves around you, or laziness, having a "it doesn't matter" mentality. In God's kingdom, the pride and laziness that prevents us from being faithful with the small things will always result in unwanted and undesirable consequences. After the third servant made some unjustified, ridiculous, deflecting excuses about why he wasn't faithful with what he's been entrusted with, here's what the master said to him. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." The master called him wicked and lazy not because he committed some major sin, but because he wasn't faithful with the small things entrusted to him. Now, let this sink in. He wasn't called wicked and lazy for what he did wrong.
He was called wicked and lazy for what he didn't do at all. And here were the consequences of that decision. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Implication being, in God's kingdom, not being faithful with the small things he has entrusted you with prevents you from experiencing what God wants for you. As followers of Christ, we are to view every seemingly insignificant opportunity, relationship, project, responsibility, meeting, dollar, decision, circumstance, environment, as something God has entrusted to us, as something God has placed in front of us, as something God has put in our hands, and being faithful with it in such a way that it reflects him, that it glorifies him, and that it honors him. And when we do is when God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the few, the small, the seemingly insignificant things I've entrusted you with today. And now you're ready to receive more of what only I can give you, of what I want for you, of my plan for you, of what I want to do in you, of what I want to do through you. According to Jesus, being faithful with the small things leads to rewards, and not being faithful results and unwanted consequences. That's true in your relationship with and your experience of God, but it doesn't stop there. See, because we often try to compartmentalize the spiritual from the practical, but God doesn't. Jesus has invited us to follow him in every single area of our lives, and that is very practical in the real world every single day. And just like this right here is true in your relationship with God, this is also true in relationships with the people in your home, at work, at school, on your team. Being faithful with the small things leads to rewards. And in your relationships, the reward of faithfulness is trust. The more faithful you are, the more trustworthy you become. And as trust goes, so goes the relationship. And influence always happens in the context of the relationship. And what that means is no trust equates to no influence. No trust equates to no influence. Trust equates to influence. And you already know that to be true. Because if someone consistently fails to follow through, if they cut corners, if they constantly show up late, if they're always making excuses for why they didn't get it done, your trust in them quickly erodes, doesn't it? And before long, you'll conclude, if they can't be trusted with this small thing, more than likely, they can't be trusted with anything. I told you earlier, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people don't re-rack their weights at the gym and put their weights away. It frustrates me. But it does more than that, and I'm not over-exaggerating this. It makes me conclude about them, if you treat the gym like this, you probably treat other things like this. If you treat the gym like this, you probably treat life like this. And it makes me not trust them. So much so, a couple years ago, I needed to review, like, my health insurance options. And, you know, health insurance, it's a lot, right? It's just a lot to figure out how to navigate through, and I just knew I needed help navigating through it. And I know a guy at the gym who's a health insurance broker. And I'm like, I guarantee he knows about all this health insurance stuff. He could help me navigate this stuff. And not for one second did I think about calling him. And do you know why I didn't call him? Because he don't re-rack his weights. Now, you guys, I'm dead serious about this. Because him not re-racking his weights every single day and leaving them out, that's all I need to know about him. Because if he treats the gym like that with that much care and that much concern, he probably treats other things like that in his life with that much care and that much concern. And I need someone who cares more. You guys, when I see, this is so true, I'm embarrassed to say this, but this is true. When I see people at the gym that have like Christian shirts on, like Jesus loves you. And they wear shirts that like have their church's logo and stuff on it, and that they're screaming like, I'm a follower of Christ. I immediately, when they don't re-rack their weights, I immediately think, no, you're not. I'm sure they are. They just need, you know, some transformation. You know, like, I mean, seriously, they like lose all credibility with me. And I just want to let you know, just as a pre-warning, if you end up going and work out the same gym I work at and you wear a Relevant shirt and you do not re-rack your weights and put them back, I will make you take that shirt off. Because I don't want people to think that I'm associated with someone like you who would do that. Now, come on, you guys need to hear this. To impact people for Jesus, you must be trusted by them. And trust is a reward of faithfulness. Being trusted by others that you're faithful with the small things, you know what it does? It gives you credibility. Credibility that you actually are who you say you are. You actually care about what you claim to be important. You actually believe what you say you believe. You actually are following who you claim to be following. Credibility that when you open your mouth to share the good news of Jesus, that what comes out of your mouth is actually worth listening to. Without credibility, you won't have influence. And without influence, you can't make an impact. So be faithful with the small things. Be faithful with the small things. The reward of faithfulness is trust. Trust produces credibility. Credibility opens the door to influence, and influence is how you impact people for Jesus. So here's what I want to do. I want to leave you with a few simple ways that you can be faithful with the small things today that will not only make everything better at home and everything better at work and everything better at school and everything better on your team, but that will help produce the trust and credibility that you need to impact people for Jesus. I'm just going to go through these real quick. Here's the first one. Leave everything better than the way you found it. Leave everything better than the way you found it. Leave every room, every situation, every environment, every building, every classroom, everything better than the way you found it. Now, this seems like a very insignificant thing, but it is not. And it's not because leaving everything better than the way you found it shows how much you care. And people don't care what you know or care about what you say until they know how much you care. And few things show how much you care like taking the time to leave something better than the way you found it. This is why at the gym, I don't go usually talk to people who don't re-rack their weights. Literally, at the gym, between every single set, I go around the weight room and I put back people's crap. And I clean up the weight room between sets for an hour every morning, putting back dumbbells and weights. Because I want people, my goal is when I walk out of that weight room for people to think, that's a guy who cares. I mean, they think I'm loud too, but I want them to think like, that's a guy who cares, who leaves everything better than the way he found it. Be faithful with the small things of leaving everything better than the way you found it. Wipe down the mirror in the bathroom when you see water spots on it. You can practice that every Sunday morning. When you go in there and see, just wipe that down. By the way, you put water spots on that mirror, wipe it down. When you borrow someone's car, return the car with more gas than when you borrowed it. When you go to the kitchen and see your roommate left dirty dishes in the sink, clean them. In the break room at work, put away what your coworkers left out. When you see trash in the parking lot as you're walking up to school, pick up the trash. Faithfulness with this seemingly small thing will produce big trust and credibility over time. Second, be consistent. Your patterns, your rhythms, your habits are speaking louder than your words. What you repeatedly do over time communicates to people who you really are. Listen, nothing's easier than saying words. Anyone can say words. Nothing is harder than living those out day after day, after day, after day, after day. Being consistent, it may feel insignificant, but over time it adds up and it compounds into trust. When people see you consistently follow through, consistently do what you said you would do, consistently live out who you say you are, consistently are where you said you would be, consistently fill your commitments, it makes them trust you. And once again, trust produces credibility, and credibility opens the door to influence. Here's the third thing. Work hard. Be faithful with the small thing of being the hardest worker in the room, because whether you know it or not, your work ethic is speaking way louder than your words are ever speaking. Every day, you're either building or eroding people's trust in you. That's either creating or destroying your credibility simply by how hard you work. If you're lazy, I want you to know, people are noticing. If you're lazy, people are noticing. And they may never say it to your face, but they're definitely thinking some negative things about who you are, about your character, and about your integrity. Some negative things that would never make them take what you say seriously. Some negative things that would never make them even consider saying yes if you were to invite them to Relevant. And I realize that some of you might be lazy because you don't like the work you're doing. You think that work is beneath you. In your estimation, that work is small, it's boring, it's insignificant. If that's you, and you truly want to follow Jesus, my advice to you would be to turn your work into worship. Not to worship your work, but to turn your work into worship, into how you worship God. In the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 3, here's what the Apostle Paul instructed Christ's followers who were also bondservants to do. He said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, saying, don't be lazy. Here's why. As working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a, reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. God's over all, and God sees all, and he sees you. And he wants to reward you, but that only happens by being faithful with what he has entrusted you with today. And that seemingly small and insignificant job, that seemingly small and insignificant chore at home, that seemingly small and insignificant responsibility that someone has given you, is something that he has entrusted you with. So, turn that work into worship. When you do, things will change. Your actions will change, your attitude will change, your work ethic will change, and people will take notice that there's something different about you. Young people, show your parents there's something different about you. That there's something different. Here's the final thing. Now, this is going to be convicting to some of you. I realize that. Just hold on. Some of you, this will be convicting some of you who didn't know that we actually started at, 10:30. Here it is. Be on time. Now, you know who thinks that this is just an insignificant thing? The people who are always late. You know who knows how big of a deal this is in either creating or destroying your credibility? The people who are always waiting on you. And we're all guilty of being late sometimes. But those of you who are consistently late, need to know what message it's communicating. And what message it's communicating is, my time is more important than yours. And I don't care enough about you or what we're doing to be on time. And I know that's not your heart. And I know that's not your intention. But it's what others are feeling, and it's eroding their trust in you. If you want to show people they matter, if you want people to know that they're important to you, if you want to build trust and credibility, be faithful with the small thing of being on time. Be faithful with the small things. Be faithful with the small things. Be faithful with the small things. Listen, are these the only four things that we can be faithful in? Are these the only four small things we should be faithful with? No, but it's a real good start. So let me ask you, what is a small thing you need to be more faithful with? Maybe it's one of those four things that I talked about. Maybe it's something else entirely. Whatever it is, take whatever next step you need to take to be faithful with it. Will you have to overcome some pride? Most likely. Will you have to push through some laziness? Probably. Will it be worth it? Absolutely. It will be worth it because the more faithful you are with the small things, the more likely people will see that there's something different about you. And once again, that make them want to believe what you believe, but it'll make them want to know you and make them trust you. And trust produces credibility, Credibility opens the door to influence, and influence is how you impact people for Jesus. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, I pray that we don't take this small message today as insignificant. I pray whatever it is that, whatever that small thing is that we need to be more faithful with, whether at home, at school, at work, wherever it may be, I pray that we are. Lord, I pray that through that, people see there's something different about us, that we reflect you more, that we honor you more, that they see you in us more, that they trust us more, that we gain more credibility, and somehow, through our actions, people see you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to help you stay informed about opportunities for you or your family to stay connected at Relevant. The best way to do that is by getting you on our email list. Just text the word connected to 55444 and we'll get you added to that list. Lastly, at Relevant, we believe that generosity generates transformation. If you feel led to support the work that God is doing in and through Relevant, there are multiple ways that you can give digitally. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.